greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service to the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on caffeine when we come back. You know, during World War II, our parents and grandparents planted victory gardens, and they helped to provide their own food and fiber for themselves and their country. Well, today, over half of the food that we eat here in the United States is imported from outside of our borders. Our food is produced from hybrid seed that will not reproduce, and it is nutritionally deficient. Adolf Steinbrom of Fairbanks, Iowa, put the matter into perspective by having samples of corn tested for nutrients that are usually added to commercial feeds. Now, when compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwest states, Steinbrom's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, and 205% more manganese, and the same result has also been seen in the content of calcium, sodium, magnesium, and zinc. Now, in the opinion of many ecologic farmers, hybrid seed merely masks poor farming practices by producing more bins and bushels of foodless food without the nutrients that are really food's reason for being in the first place. Now, if you'd like to know more about this multinational corporate monopoly of our seed and food supplies and how you can become independent from them, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package. It's a place to start, and it's free of charge. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about caffeine. I'm reviewing the book called Caffeine Blues, about a 450-page read. Pretty interesting and well-documented. In fact, it's documented in a unique format. I would rate this book about a 1 in 20. 1 in 20 is probably not the only book on caffeine, but it's a good one and well documented in that he has notes. In fact, the book is a book of notes from scientific journals. All of the studies that have been compiled over the last 50 years or so, I'm not going to say 75, but 50 years or so, I say all, probably not all, but most, a good number of, a whole bunch, to say the least. I told you last time that just in Chapter 5, there were more than 191 notes to compose one chapter, which deals with the common disease symptoms caused by caffeine. So if you were wondering, is caffeine good for you? My conclusion is that yes, it is. And the reason I concluded that caffeine is good for you is that it's mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 1, 29, and 30. So if you went to Genesis chapter 1, and then went to the verses 29 and 30, you'd find that coffee is a green herb, comes from a bush called a green herb, and that God himself made it for you, just like he made cocaine, marijuana, and heroin. And these are called herbs. Now, your government doesn't think these are good for you, so they take away certain herbs that they don't think you can handle. So they won't let you have cocaine. You can't handle marijuana, so they took that away from you. You certainly can't handle heroin, so they took that away from you. So there's certain things out there that you people out there can't handle, can't deal with, can't take in moderation. And so the government steps in. That's your Food and Drug Administration. That's your United States government or your state government. They took that away from you. Now, they didn't take caffeine away from you. In fact, not only didn't they take it away from you, they add it in to your food. So they decaffeinate coffee and then put it in your Excedrin or Anacin or some other drug. Or they'll put it into coffee in higher amounts like they do nicotine. It's an addictive drug. It is a drug, and it's called a drug. Caffeine is called a drug, and they sell it over the counter. I mean, you can buy caffeine in the form of brand names like No Dose. I remember I used to use No Dose quite often, especially when I had a schedule to keep, and I had things I'd do, and I didn't have time to sleep, so I'd wire up with No Dose and coffee. No Dose and wash her down with coffee. That'll wire you up for about 24 hours. You won't sleep, and you can sit there and just drive for hours, listen to the radio, and do whatever you have to do. Of course, it takes a toll on your life. It takes a toll on your health. And you're designed to live for 70 years and 80 years if you're strong. So let me give you a list here of the damage that you do to your body by using this drug called caffeine in excessive amounts. And this is the key word, excessive amounts. Can you remember that, boys and girls? Excessive amounts. Now, the next thing that comes up is, well, how much is an excessive amount? Is 12 cups of coffee a day moderate drinking, or is that heavy coffee drinking or heavy caffeine use? They pointed out here in the book that, well, different people are different. And so I told you, I think in the last program, I said, I had an old friend named Darwin. We'd go out to dinner at night, and he could drink 16 highballs, get in the car and drive home. I've often said I'd rather drive home with Darwin drunk than most people sober. I mean, he was good. Now, normal people, and I'm speaking of myself now and maybe you and a couple others, I mean, if we had 16 highballs, we would die from the excessive alcohol overload. I mean, I think that's enough to kill you, 16 highballs, 16 ounces. Of course, that's a pint. Maybe, you know, it depends on the size of your body. You know, if you're 200 pounds, you can drink more than if you're 100 pounds. But tuck it away in your heart that the amount of caffeine that your body can tolerate is going to be something different than another guy. So you're going to have to figure that out. That's the bottom line to that. And, of course, this author, he's opposed to caffeine. He's like a Baptist who's opposed to booze. God himself isn't opposed to booze and tells you in the Bible, you know, that you ought to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And especially during the holy days. Now, Baptists, you know, they don't practice the holy days. So, therefore, they're out of the loop, and they don't need any alcoholic stimulation during the holy days. But for the rest of us that actually practice these holy days, we need a little vodka and a little Jack Daniels, you know, tide us over during these holy days. And so God said, that's good. But he added a little caveat to that. He said, no drunkard shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, you know what the Bible is actually teaching here is moderation. A little booze is all right for you, but, you know, rein it in. And I suppose you could actually smoke a little bit. I don't know that positively. I'm not advocating smoking. I couldn't handle nicotine. I mentioned that to you last time. I had to give it up because that nicotine is addictive, too. It's a drug. And it's a good drug. As old Dr. Sansoni said to me, hey, you're going to like this. You know, had me in the hospital shooting me up with morphine. He said, hey, you're going to like this. But he warned me. He said, now, you know, you get on this morphine over here, and you're going to be a street addict out here sucking up heroin, and you won't be able to get off of it. So I took his warning seriously, and I avoided that morphine. I think he gave me a couple, two or three shots of it. But I just said, well, I think I'll just swear off that. And so I told the nurse when she came, no, there's no pain at all. Feels real good. And so it hurt a little bit for a couple, 3 days. But I figured the pain is probably a little bit better for me than the morphine. So, but I smoked for 9 years, you know, and that nicotine's really good stuff, too. And I don't think I ever smoked a bad cigar, and I don't think I ever had a bad drink of Jack Daniels either. And what happens is that your body can take more than somebody else's, or maybe it's less than somebody else, and so you can develop some symptoms by overindulging in caffeine, whiskey, nicotine, you know, all the good things of life. So listen to this list. This is a laundry list, not extensive, but, you know, it's about 20 items here. This caffeine, remember, constricts your blood vessels. When you drink coffee, it makes your blood vessels, which are maybe the size of a pencil lead, it makes them shrink up by a third, one third. And that has some repercussions. It does something to you. Now, you're sitting there driving down the road sucking on some coffee right now, or maybe sucking on a Diet Coke, and you're not noticing any real bad adverse effects that are coming from it. It's not like drinking, you know, some arsenic or strychnine, you know, in your Coca-Cola there, because that'll give you some bad effects right away quick. But caffeine doesn't, nicotine doesn't, alcohol doesn't. It takes a long time to kill you with alcohol poisoning. Well, unless you get too much on a binge, you know, one night. But ordinarily, you know, hell, you don't die, you know, for 30, 40 years. Or the same thing with nicotine. I mean, you know, John Wayne, you know, he was over 70 when he died. He might have lived to be 85 if he hadn't smoked. But, you know, those are subjective determinations. We don't really know that one way or the other. But he died of lung cancer. And as a result of his smoking, I mean, the smoking probably didn't help him any. Remember that smoking, you know, kind of causes lung cancer. Well, that's what they tell us anyway. And so there's some other repercussions that come up, like caffeine and your eyes. It's on page 220 here of the book. It constricts the blood vessels. Now, in your eyeballs, you know, you've got some little tiny blood vessels, and they deliver the nutrients that your eyes need. Well, when you constrict those by one third, and you do that over a long period of time, it causes cataracts. Okay, so, you know, it's just one of those kind of things. Now, you might have cataracts caused by something other than caffeine, but I always likened it, you know, to a little gasoline on the fire. It may not be that the caffeine caused the cataracts, but it sure as hell didn't do much to prevent them. So there's one. Now, gout, that's another disease that you get. It's a painful thing. I had gout once, and I thought I'd jumped off the back of the dump truck and hurt my foot, but it wasn't. It was gout. And then there's erectile dysfunction. Now, you know, they got this, all these ads on here, you know, for these erectile dysfunction. What do they call it? I kind of forget the name of it now, but they got two or three of them out there, celiac or celi this or something else, you know, and this is for people. Remember this, erectile dysfunction. Now, think about this for a second, guys. Erectile dysfunction. What is it that you need for an erection? You need blood, don't you? You need blood. You need lots of blood in your penis in order to create an erection. Now, let's constrict the blood vessels by one third. Okay, guys? Now, what's the result of that? Can you figure that out? Can you say erectile dysfunction, boys and girls? All right. Now, if you want to drink coffee and then go down and buy some of the celiac or whatever they're selling out here, you know, to counteract that, you know, I guess that's okay. But, you know, you might want to think about that, you know, in the future when you're out here at the drugstore paying, you know, hundreds of bucks for these prescription drugs over here to cure a problem that's really caused by something that you're eating. Then you got a sperm count problem over here. This sperm count here in America has gone way down. And remember now, think about it. You know, the sperm count now depends upon blood in your testicles in order to manufacture the product. And so if you cut it down by one third, you ought to have about one third less product, shouldn't you? So what we're really dealing with here is that this caffeine over here cuts down on the blood flow to various parts of your body, and it has a result. There's something that happens when you do that. If you were to tie or just put a rubber band, you know, on your wrist, don't do this, because if you do this, you know, you're liable to lose your hand. But if you stick a rubber band, you know, on your wrist, it'll shut off the blood flow to your hand. What do you think is going to happen if you do that? Do you think there might be some adverse consequences down there in your hand if you cut off the blood supply? Now, that's when you cut it all off. See? Yeah, it just rots off. Your hand just rots off. We do this with calves. We put an elastrator, you know, on their testicles, and it just rots off. It's a modality that we use here for making steers or oxen, you know, depending on what country you're from there. And the same thing now is happening with this caffeine. It constricts your blood vessels. You get less blood to your brain. Your brain doesn't work as well. That's number one. And if you want to become a little dumber, and you want to become a little slower, a little less able to work math problems and common sense problems, and one thing and another, drink more coffee. And it'll cut down the blood flow to your brain by one third. And then they didn't say now that it's going to cut down your intelligence by a third, but it does cut it down by some. They didn't say how much, but you're not going to be quite as smart as you could be if you didn't drink the coffee. Now listen to this, there's a little bit more. It causes allergy, asthma, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, autoimmune disease, prostate dysfunction, adrenal gland stress hormone dysfunction, hypoglycemia, diabetes, aging, headache, ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome, heartburn, acid reflux. Did you catch that one? There's a thing that they're advertising. You know, Katie's advertising drugs every broadcast. And every night when Katie's advertising drugs, I see this acid reflux drug over here. It's just night and day. Hell, I never heard the word acid reflux when I was a kid. I guess we all had it, but we didn't know what it was. So now they've got a drug for that. So you drink coffee, causes acid reflux, and you run off to the drugstore and you buy this Nexium or something, and it takes care of your acid reflux or whatever. And then there's constipation. Dries you up. Yep, it dries you out, and you don't have enough water in your bowels. It causes constipation. And the big one, here, I saved the big one till last, called coronary disease, heart attack and stroke. Did you know that? Heart attack and stroke is caused by caffeine. Well, it's caused by excessive caffeine. Now, I believe in moderation, and I'm just like the rest of you guys out there. I can't handle moderation. I always figured if a little bit's good, a whole bunch has got to be much better. So, you know, if I smoked one cigarette, hell, I'd smoke a pack. And a pack a day isn't exactly moderation. And the same thing with booze. You know, I always figured, hell, if one drink's good, four or five's got to be a lot better. And I always noticed that was true. And then pretty soon you're over-drinking. You know, you're drinking, you know, to a point here where you're impairing your body functions. You're causing yourself cirrhosis of the liver. You're killing a lot of brain cells. You're doing something here to your body, and that's really not too good, you know, especially if you want to live to be 110, like I do. Say, I want to live to be 110, die of old age with my shoes off on the floor in my sleep so that I don't suffer any pain. You know, I'm one of those wimpy kind of guys. And so in order for me to achieve that goal, I had to start backing off a little bit, you know, on the booze and the cigarettes and the wild women. So I'm well on my way now. I'm pushing 70. I'm the oldest living Gordon in five generations. We always had a saying here in the Gordon family: live hard, die young, and leave beautiful memories. Well, my granddad was the oldest living Gordon, died at age 61. And then he had two brothers. They died. Uncle Al, he died at 42, and excuse me, 46. And Uncle Ed, he died at 42. Ed at 42, Al at 46, my granddad at 61. None of us have made it to 70. And then there was my great-granddad, and he was a nice guy, I'm pretty sure of that, but he died in 1898. He died in 1898. I forget how old he was now. He was in his 40s or 50s. Lived to the ripe old age of 50. And my dad died at age 53. Now, my dad was a nice guy, and of course, he was a little excessive. He drank coffee. He drank Four Roses whiskey. He smoked cool cigarettes, and he was a cool guy. And he died at age 53 in a car wreck. So they did an autopsy on him, and they said he was so bad when they cut him open, they looked at all of his vital organs and one thing and another at the autopsy. They said that they didn't think he would have lived five more years. So 53, add five to that, and it would have been 58. They said there wasn't no way in hell he was going to live to be 70. Because I asked that question. I said, well, you know, could he have lived to be 70? Well, that wasn't going to happen. Now, that was my dad. He's a great guy. But, you know, had he not been killed in the car wreck, he was going to die anyway. His heart was bad. His liver was bad. He just had this long list, laundry list of bad organs, bad problems over here. So, again, I'm not suggesting that you give up on all caffeine or that you give up on all whiskey or that you give up on everything that tastes good, like chocolate, you know, and so on. But I think that if you'd read this book, I think you could come to a better conclusion on the right amount of caffeine that might be right for your body. And it's not very much. Now, I'm still drinking a little caffeine. I like to go out to the restaurant once in a while, drink 4 or 5 cups of coffee when I'm eating dinner. We don't drink much coffee here at the house. I drink milk here at the house. But I do like to drink a little coffee once in a while. And so far, it doesn't seem to have that much of an adverse effect because they have a test here. They got a 50-question test, and they say, now, if you're doing this, you're drinking this coffee, do you have this symptom? Does this occur? And I was able to answer all 50 questions. No, it doesn't do that to me. So that means that I'm not drinking enough caffeine to cause these kinds of debilitating problems. Or now that's just me. Now, of course, you might drink the same amount of coffee and it might give you blinding headaches or something else, and you'll have to figure that out as you progress along. But let me start off here with coronary disease. Chapter 5, coronary disease. It says, I know you've heard it 1,000 times. Cardiovascular disease is the nation's number one killer. But have you ever thought about what that actually means? So if we translate the abstract numbers into concrete terms, the picture becomes much more real and immediate. Only then will we be motivated to do something about it in our own lives and in the lives of those that we love. Cardiovascular disease encompasses disorders of the heart and blood vessels, including heart attack, stroke, chest pain, hypertension, rheumatic heart disease, and atherosclerosis, that is hardening or blockage of the arteries. Well, in 1997, 960,000 Americans died of cardiovascular disease. Remarkably, there are societies on Earth where CVD, cardiovascular disease, is rather rare. So we know that it's not one of the inevitable consequences of aging. In fact, CVD is preventable. Nevertheless, unless people take action toward prevention, things will go on just as they have for decades. So in America today, nearly one-third of men between the ages of 50 and 60 will die within the next 10 years. Now, just pay attention here. Did you get that number? Get your pen out here. Sharpen it on both ends so you can take notes. In America today, one-third of men, and that's one out of every three, so look around the room there. Count. Can you count to three here, boys and girls? One, two, three. All right. Every third man in the room between the ages of 50 and 60 will die within the next 10 years. How's that for a number? All right, now 960,000 is quite a bunch. Now keep in mind that every heart attack, every stroke, every cardiovascular disease is preventable. It's a degenerative disease that is caused by nutritional deficiency or toxins or a combination of the two. So if you die from a cardiovascular event, it was 100% preventable. So if we take 960,000 and then let's divide that, 960,000, I'm going to plug that into my famous Sharp EL1197G3 Texas Instruments calculator here, show you what kind of a math whiz I am, and I'm going to divide that by a 747 load of about 400, shall we? Now that's 2,400 747 crashes, killing everybody on board every year with one preventable disease called heart attack. Now my granddad died from heart attack. He drank a lot of coffee, drank a lot of beer, smoked a lot of Roytan cigars, and chewed a lot of Day's Work tobacco. And he should have died at age 61. In fact, it's not surprising that he died at age 61. It's surprising that he lived to be 61, you know, the way he lived. Nice guy. God, everybody loved him. And had a lot of people at his funeral. Let's say 2,400 airplane crashes. Okay, let's divide that by 365 days in a year. Now, that's 6.57, 747 airplane crashes every day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. Now, would that get your attention? I mean, hell, when an airplane crashes, it makes the 6 o'clock news, doesn't it? Katie Couric always reports on plane crashes. Okay, now we're having 6.5 of those every day here in the form of cardiovascular disease. I think old Joe Stalin, you know, said it best. He said, you know, when one person dies, it's a tragedy. When my daddy died, it took me 3 years to get over that. That was a god-awful tragedy. A couple of years ago, 250,000 people died in a big earthquake, tidal wave, tsunami over in the Indian Ocean. Remember that? I never shed a tear. Not one tear came down my face over 250,000 people dead. Because old Joe said that's just a statistic. Nobody cries over statistics. And 960,000 people a year dying from cardiovascular disease is nothing more than a statistic. Nobody's going to shed a tear over nearly a million people dying. Now, here's another one. Now, you know, a lot of us guys now are between 50 and 60. You know, think about that. You know, if you're 50 to 60 years old, just look around the room. Every third one of you will be dead within 10 years. That's just the way life is. That's a bunch of people. And every one of those people leave wives and children and mommies and daddies and grannies and granddads and so on. And all of those people grieve, and it takes about 3 years of grieving to get over somebody that dies. You know, so if you're not thinking about yourself, think about the family members around you. When you die, the grief that you're going to inflict upon all of the other people around you. And just the way life is. So they're going to die within the next 10 years from cardiovascular disease. And if that surprises you, consider that this disease now kills more women than men. All right, now you ladies out there, just look around the room. You know, count three women. One, two, three. Can you do that? When you get to the third one, that one's going to die within the next 10 years. And then cardiovascular disease. Now that you ladies have learned how to smoke and drink, you know, like all of us boys do, now you can die just like we do. And if you think I'm on the bandwagon here trying to get you to change your lifestyle, I couldn't care less. I'm a reporter, and my job in life is to report facts. And so I report these facts, and then you can make your own decision as to what you want to do about it. But tuck it away in your heart, girls. More of you are going to die than of the men. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like one, just call the law school and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, now the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And The Law Hour editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Now, the reason for that is that these authors and publications that you hear us cite on The Law Hour, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, they're hostile. Or they're political or religious or economic or sectarian. They may be racial, or they could be ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by The Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about The Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, talking about heart disease here and the caffeine connection. Now, this is the big one. Coronary disease kills more people in America than any other single cause. Cancer is second. There's no connecting link in the entirety of this book between caffeine and cancer. I noticed that. But boy, there are some big links between caffeine and cardiovascular disease, because the caffeine restricts your blood vessels. In fact, when you drink one cup of coffee, I forget how many milligrams this is, it constricts your blood vessels. And of course, the more you drink, the more your blood vessels constrict. I would imagine you could drink enough coffee that you could shut your blood flow down by 50%. Now, normally, it just cuts it down by one-third. And that one-third restriction of blood supply through your body causes a lot of symptoms. Now, I cited for you here about 20 symptoms. Now, pay attention. I'm going to do this one more time. It causes things like gout or erectile dysfunction, sperm count shortage, allergy, asthma, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, autoimmune disease, prostate dysfunction, adrenal gland stress hormone dysfunction, hypoglycemia, diabetes, aging, headache, ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome, heartburn, acid reflux, constipation, and coronary disease, which are manifested most often in heart attack and stroke, directly connected to caffeine, not coffee per se, but caffeine. Now, I showed you here a couple of programs back, and I'm gonna flip over here to about page 34. Boy, I was amazed when I saw this. This just really blew me away. Listen up. Chocolate contains 6 milligrams per ounce. Baking chocolate, 35 milligrams per ounce. One small candy bar, 25 milligrams per bar. Now, when we compare that to coffee, a 6 ounce cup of coffee hits you with 100 milligrams. So four candy bars is equal to one cup of coffee. So I wouldn't give up to, you know, chewing on a York peppermint patty just because it's got a little caffeine in it. I'm not a purist, you know, I'm not here trying to tell you to quit eating candy. But I was surprised that there was any in it at all. What in the hell do we need to put caffeine into a candy bar for? So I answered that question for you last night. We do that to addict you to the candy bar. Okay, it gets better than that. Hanison has 32 milligrams per tablet, Dristan 16, Dexatrim 200. When you take one tablet, one pill, one Dexatrim pill, that's equal to 1 6-ounce cup of coffee. And I pointed out to you the reason that they figure this in 6 ounce is because they want to give you a number that doesn't shock you, you know, right out of your pants. For instance, nobody drinks a 6 ounce cup of coffee. Let's get real, shall we? Nobody drinks 6 ounces of coffee. But if you did, you'd get 100 milligrams of caffeine. We all drink 12-ounce cups of coffee. 12-ounce. And so that's 200 milligrams. Every time you're sitting there drinking down a cup of coffee, it's 200 milligrams. Now, most of us drink mugs. You know, we have 16-ounce mugs. You know, come on, guys. You know, when we fill up our thermos bottle down there at the truck stop, you know, that's got, you know, a quart or more in there, doesn't it? Okay. Well, a quart's 32 ounces. So we're going to drink that quart. How long is it going to take you to drink a quart of coffee driving down the road? I mean, hell, I drink a quart of coffee in an hour. I have to stop at the next truck stop and pick up some more coffee. I didn't need fuel. I needed more coffee. That's where the reality of life is. So we drink this coffee in place of water, milk, or anything else, you know, that might be good for us, you know, like V8 or something else. And it causes constipation because it has to be digested. And so the water that's in the coffee, I mean, look, it's 99% water. I agree with you. Goes into your stomach. Your stomach says, hey, we got to digest this. It digests it, shifts it over to your kidneys, and you urinate. It doesn't go out to your cells over here where it's needed. Only pure water does that. Pure water goes right through your stomach lining, right into your bloodstream, right into your cells. Boy, that's what you need, water. Now, I suspect that when you put additives into the water, you know, things like chlorine and fluoride, probably does the same thing as putting coffee in it. But anyway, the reason we have constipation isn't because we're not drinking enough liquids. We got plenty of liquid, but the liquid goes through your kidneys. And the water goes through your stomach lining and out into your bloodstream, out into your cells. And so the reason that we're suffering here with so many symptoms in America is that we're drinking all kinds of stuff, but not enough water. So we're drinking orange juice and milk and coffee and tea and all these thingies over here like Starbucks and so on. And we think we're getting lots of liquid, and we are. We're getting lots of liquid, but the liquid isn't what you need. It's water. And that's why you've got asthma. You're not getting enough water. You know what causes asthma, kids? Kids, asthma, cause and effect relationship? Dehydration. You don't have enough water. So a guy by the name of Revy Batra, he tested this one time. He just dinking around a little bit. Well, he was doing a little more than that. He was locked up in prison is what it was. He's a medical doctor locked up in prison over in Iran. And he noticed that there's a lot of people in here suffering from low symptoms. And so he did a little experimentation. He found out that dehydration causes a whole laundry list of symptoms. So one of the symptoms that he discovered over there was asthma. He'd find some prisoner with asthma, and he didn't have any, you know, antihistamine to treat him with. And so he would treat him with water. He'd start pumping water into this guy. And they found out that when they got enough water into these people, you know, their symptoms would go away. So he wrote a book on that. The guy's name is Revy Batra. But anyway, Vivarin, V-I-V-A-R-I-N, has 200 milligrams, just like Dexatrim, 200 milligrams. And then there's some neat stuff over here, you know, like soft drinks. Here, listen to these soft drinks. Now, soft drinks, you know, the ordinary average run-of-the-mill can of Coke, it doesn't have any caffeine in it at all. Zero. None. You have to add it. You have to go out in the marketplace and buy it. So the Coca-Cola bottling company, what they do, they go out into the marketplace and they buy caffeine. You know, they get a box of caffeine and bring it in. And then they whip up a batch of Coke, see? And then they dump in a bunch of caffeine. And so, of course, the question arises, well, why are they doing it? Well, caffeine is addictive, just like heroin, cocaine, you know, marijuana, morphine. There are certain things in life that are addictive. And so they put it in there. They put it in their products. They put it in the cookies, and they put it in the candy bars, and they put it in your food. They put it in your drinks. And they do that because it tastes good. You're going to like this. Okay. No, I never drank a bad Coca-Cola. I always liked Coke. Pepsi-Cola, they called me the Pepsi kid, you know, before I learned how to drink real stuff. And so I'm familiar with soda pop. You know, I'm not a virgin from Hollywood. You know, didn't know what the hell a Coke was. And I can't ever remember drinking a bad Coke. I always liked them. As old Sansoni said to me, you know, the old doctor, you know, he said, hey, you're going to like this. Boy, he was right about that. And so the Coca-Cola company, they know you're going to like this. So the leading colas have 45 milligrams per 12-ounce can. 45 milligrams. Let's back up here a minute. 12 ounces of coffee have 200 milligrams. So to get the same amount, you got to drink four Cokes. So, I mean, if you need a hit of caffeine The easiest, fastest, bestest way for you to do that is to take Dexatrim. Just take one shot of Dexatrim. Hell, it's better than no-dose. No-dose you buy directly for the express purpose of getting the caffeine so you can wire up. Hey, listen, there's a couple others. Viverin, I don't know what it is or what it does, and Dexatrim, I think those are cold medicines. That's what I think. I'm pretty sure that Dexatrim seems to me as a cold medicine of some kind. 200 milligrams. My God, that's like drinking 4 cups of coffee. You wire up with that stuff pretty fast. All right, now 45. Now Mountain Dew is 54, so it's got 10 more. Josta, that's Pepsi Company, they got 58. Surge, Coca-Cola, Surge, 51 milligrams. And then there's Jolt, 72 milligrams. I had a student in here one time, and he was drinking this can of something over. There's a Jolt on the side of it. I said, what the hell is that? And he said, this is Jolt. Look at this. Double the sugar and double the caffeine. Said it right on the can. I said, let me see that. And I took the can. It says right there on the can, Jolt. Double the sugar and double the caffeine. And all right. See, 45 milligrams, 45, 45 is 90. Well, ain't quite double. Should have 90. It's only got 72. 72 milligrams of caffeine. Now, if you want caffeine, Soda Pop's got is the stuff you're looking for. Very common for people to drink a lot of Soda Pop. I had a guy in here one time. He'd bring a 12-pack into class, 9 o'clock in the morning. He comes in and sets it down. Now, if a guy walked in here with a bottle of Jack Daniel's, set it down on the counter, and he drank that bottle during the course of the day, I'd say, well, the guy's probably an alcoholic. Got a little drinking problem. What do you think if a guy comes in with a 12-pack of Coke? Well, of course, it was his wife with him. It wasn't quite as bad as I'm making it out to be. Him and his wife bring a 12-pack of Coke. And during the course of the day, the two of them drink it all. Now, that's 6 Cokes each. Let's see what we got here. 45. Is that what it was? 45 times 6. 270 milligrams divided by 100. 2.7 cups of coffee. 2.7 cups of coffee. Now, what do you think about people that drink coffee? Like, there's a guy in here we're going to read about a little later. He drinks 12 cups of coffee a day. 12 cups a day. How much is that? Now, if he's drinking a normal cup, that's 2. He's getting 100 for 6 ounces. That means he's getting 1,200. That means he's getting 12 times 100. 1,200 milligrams a day. And you know he's not drinking 6-ounce cups. He's drinking 12-ounce cups. So he's getting 2,400 milligrams a day of caffeine. What do you think that's doing to his body? I mean, the last time that guy had sex was in 1968, wasn't it? You know, I mentioned that to you, erectile dysfunction. And you're taking Viagra because you drink so much coffee, it constricts the blood vessels in your body, kids. And then you got to take Viagra. I thought I'd share that with you, you know, because, you know, a lot of times people, they don't know the answers to these riddles. And I'm not telling you not to drink coffee. I'm just in there putting cause and effect together for you so you can figure out what's causing. There's an old adage that says, the guy's banging his head on the wall. And they said, why are you banging your head on the wall? Because it feels so good when I stop. It feels so good when I stop. And when you stop that excessive caffeine, you're going to feel a lot better. I don't know about that because I never felt quite that bad, but you know they're telling us here in the book that you'll feel a lot better when you quit drinking the caffeine. Now, we're over here talking about heart disease and caffeine, okay? Heart disease. This coronary heart disease is by far the most common form of cardiovascular disease, and according to the American Heart Association, every 20 seconds, an American suffers a heart attack. Every 60 seconds, somebody dies from one. If you picked up your morning paper and you read that 3 jumbo jets had crashed the day before, you'd be greatly alarmed. What if this happened every morning, 365 days a year? Well, that's the impact that heart disease has on our nation, and yet the efforts to prevention are limited. Sure, there have been significant advances in hospital coronary care units, and more people are trained in CPR, but that's not prevention, that's simply rapid response. The goal, after all, is to prevent heart attacks, and present efforts toward that end fall into 2 categories, drugs and dietary change to lower cholesterol, and drugs and dietary change to lower blood pressure. Well, as valuable as these measures are, they're still not primary prevention. So what about preventing cholesterol levels and blood pressure from rising in the first place? And what about all of the other risk factors in heart disease? Well, given a complete issue, or a complex issue, other people, especially the media, naturally look for a simple explanation. Heart disease was thus reduced to a cholesterol problem, which, of course, turned out to be untrue. Plenty of people have high cholesterol and never have heart attacks. And every day, people with low cholesterol are rushed to the hospital in cardiac arrest. So even adding the blood pressure factor does not produce an accurate picture of heart disease. But these 2 considerations are the only ones that receive any attention in the press. And since coffee-induced increases in cholesterol and blood pressure appear to be relatively small, the professional and popular press have written off coffee as a risk factor, but nothing could be further from the truth. The strong association between coffee consumption and coronary heart risk or disease, found in several different studies, and the implications for the large population at risk are compelling arguments for concern about adverse cardiovascular effects of caffeine consumption. So first of all, increases in blood pressure due to caffeine are often very significant. Even in moderate doses, caffeine can raise blood pressure in healthy young men and women to a level of borderline hypertension. Pause. You can take a kid 20 years old. Remember the story I reported to you here? It was on McDonald's. And I took a healthy young man in his 20s, I think it was. I mean, this guy's perfect. His blood pressure is perfect. His cholesterol is perfect. Everything about him, you know, just in top physical condition. He goes on a McDonald's diet. He only eats in McDonald's 3 times a day for 30 days. Before he gets to 30 days, the doctors that are monitoring this guy's health, monitoring his blood pressure and his vital signs, told him about day 20, you got to get off this diet because it's going to kill you. That was supersize me. So if you get an opportunity, you know, you go down here to the local VHS store over here, you know, or DVD store, if you can get a copy of that Supersize Me, talk about funny. Funny. Well, it's serious, but it's a funny story. Now, you got the same thing here with the caffeine. People want to drink coffee. Now, I'm a reporter, and I drink coffee. And so the tendency is going to be, well, if I drink it, it must be good. So I don't want to say anything negative about it. And so some of you guys are sitting and say, this author, he'd be saying, oh, see that guy Gordon? He drinks coffee, so no wonder he downplays the risk. I downplay the risk because of Genesis 1, 29 and 30. If God made it, it was good. Now, unfortunately, he made a lot of things that are good. You know, like Hershey candy bars. God, those are good. Coca-Cola. God, if God made anything better than Coca-Cola, he must have kept it for himself. I discovered that with Italian dry salami and Camel cigarettes and Jack Daniel's whiskey and one of Flo's girls. I mean, let's face it. You know, there's a lot of neat stuff out there in the world that really tastes real good, feels real good, looks real good. But, you know, in excessive amounts kills us. Too much of a good thing isn't too good. So the word moderation, I think, fits in here, although, you know, a lot of times people, you know, I remember this guy, Kent Hovind, I think I reported this to you, but he's a Baptist preacher. He's a nice guy. Got to love old Kent like a brother, but, you know, Kent, he's got his head up directly up the middle of his rectal region about half the time. Half the time he's all right, and half the time he doesn't know whether it's bored or punched. But anyway, he was on his DVD or his CD over here, and he says, alcohol, not a drop of alcohol has ever touched my lips. I thought, wow, wow, that's amazing. Not a drop of alcohol has ever touched his lips. He's right, more righteous than God himself. Hell, even Jesus was drinking wine. He drank so much wine, they called him a wine bibber. We call him winos today. That was mentioned in the Bible. I don't know if you're aware of that. Did you know they called Jesus a drunk? That's right. He turned 6 firkins of water into wine one time. Well, no, it was 6 firkins apiece, and it was 6 pots. I don't know how much is in a firkin, but I imagine it's at least a fifth. Now, you know, people, they get kind of extreme, you know. They come to you and they say, well, you know, you can't drink any hooch at all. And I don't think that's true. I don't believe that for a minute. Now, gluttony is also a sin. I think you should avoid eating too much. 27% of us, now they tell us, are too fat. 27%, we call that obese. Well, okay, that's gluttony. And God said, no glutton shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, you know. So I just thought I'd point that out to you. You know, he doesn't like sodomites and he doesn't like fat. So I'm just, you take it from there, you know. If I'm insensitive, write me an email and say, my God, you're insensitive. Best folks that are overweight. Yeah, I always look at my own body, you know. And when I'm fat, especially in the wintertime, I get fat in the wintertime. And I always have to remind myself that all of that weight that I'm packing around, I put all of it right through my mouth. I did it all by myself. Never was force-fed one single bite. Nobody ever came up to me, stuck a gun at my head and said, eat this, and if you don't, I'm going to blow your head off. And that hadn't happened to me yet. So if I'm fat, boys and girls, I did it to myself. Nobody else did it to me. And if I'm alcoholic, well, nobody did it to me. I did it to myself. So that's what we're dealing with here with this coffee. If you're sucking in too many, you're suffering from these symptoms. Well, now, I'm not going to bore you to death now on this cardiovascular disease. I mean, after all, let's be intelligent people. Let me flip over here to the very end, about page 230. Let's see if I got a number up here, about page 220. Here's 219, here's 220, 221. Here it is. Caffeine in your eyes, cataracts. So if you develop cataracts, remember those blood, that one-third less blood that's going through your veins when you're drinking coffee? Well, that's what happens to your eyeballs. Listen to this. Consider the astonishing complex series of events that is taking place right now as you read this book. The miracle of sight is an amazing process involving highly specialized cells held perfectly within a fluid-filled sphere. Sight is the richest of our senses, accounting for about 75% of all of our perceptions. Often likened to a camera, the human eye is far more impressive. The film, for example, can be used over and over again, as long as the conditions are right for repair and regeneration. In fact, the retina can capture more than 10 images a second throughout your entire life, sending information through the optic nerve directly to your brain. In fact, every structure of the eye is under constant repair, nourished by extremely fine blood vessels and a fluid known as aqueous humor. The flow of aqueous humor maintains the internal or intraocular pressure, and if this flow is impaired, pressure may increase, damaging the eye and leading to a condition known as glaucoma. Glaucoma is a major cause of blindness, affecting approximately 3 million Americans, and only one-third of them don't know they have the disease. And fully one-third of them do not know they have the disease. Caffeine significantly increases interocular pressure in most people, especially when consumed in amounts of 4 or more cups a day. So if you're sucking up more than 4 cups a day, it is impairing your eyes. If you have glaucoma, this pressure increase can occur at half that amount. Experts believe that this results from changes in aqueous humor flow, and studies have shown a remarkable difference in the fluid dynamics of the eye between volunteers given caffeine and those given placebo. Perhaps even more serious, because it affects a greater number of people, is the decrease in microcirculation in the eye because of caffeine. Here again, as in the brain and peripheral blood vessels, caffeine causes a marked constriction that limits the delivery of oxygen and vital nutrients to these tissues. Animal experiments show that this can inhibit the growth and repair of the lens of your eye. Studies with human volunteers illustrate that caffeine's vasoconstrictive effect markedly reduces circulation to the macula and central portion of the retina. Macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss and blindness in people over 65, with more than 16,000 new cases reported annually in the United States. And what's more, evidence suggests that the incidence of this condition is increasing rapidly. So I find it remarkable that so little attention has been paid to the role of caffeine in eye health. Caffeine's diuretic effect can make your eyes so dry that wearing contact lenses is uncomfortable or impossible. And that's just a story on one symptom called eyes, like glaucoma, you know, and there's several of these cataracts, you know, and other symptoms that you develop in your eyes because of caffeine. Isn't that just real special? Now, about out of time here, kids. We're going to have to leave it right here and remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.